This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me as always is Alan.
Greetings, greetings.
And Fred.
Happy Hanukkah, folks. Oh, wrong time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. It is opening day time of season here, Fred. We are 1 week away as we record this on Thursday night, March 31st. We are 1 week away from opening day. Today was supposed to be opening day. I actually was off work today because I had already put in time off because I thought this would be opening day. So I just took it anyway. But we are 1 week away from the Braves kicking off the 2022 season and defending their World Series championship. And I can't be more excited. You know, Alan, it was a long off season going through that lockout. It seemed like we may never get to this date. And now here we are a week away.
Glad to have it. This is going to be fun because we haven't seen anybody repeat as World Series champions in so long, and this team really does have a shot at doing so. So I'm excited to see what happens, what transpires, and we just got to get some baseball on the field here.
Yeah, can't wait. The spring training stuff is fun. Even the shortened sample size, like after a couple of games, I'm like, okay, let's get to the real stuff. And obviously on today's podcast, we're going to do some roster breakdowns, go through the biggest storylines and give our season predictions. So Fred, don't give anything away, but how excited are you about this 2022 season starting up?
This is the most excited I've been since 96. I tell you what, this team has so much potential to do everything. They're strong all around the infield. The catching core is solid, if not outstanding. And the pitching is really, really deep. If we do what we can do, everybody in the league is going to have to come, everything in the league's got to come through Atlanta, and it isn't going to be easy for any of them. And if they get to the fifth inning and they're behind, the door's shut and they're leaving empty handed.
Yeah, let's hope this season doesn't go quite like 1996, although it would be great to get back to the World Series, but let's at least not lose it like that and then see another team become a dynasty instead of what the Braves should have been. But we're going to leave that pessimism in the past, and we are excited about this 2022 season. But before we get there, we still do have some decisions to be made as far as the roster construction as spring training rolls on. For the most part, things are pretty much settled right now. I'm going to go through what I kind of have right now for the roster, and then Alan and Fred will give their thoughts as well on what these last couple of spots will be. But I have, if we're going with a six-man rotation, and I think the Braves will, and I think they should, I think it'll be Max Fried, Charlie Morton, Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, Waskari Noah, and Tucker Davidson. The bullpen, you're going to have Kenley Jansen, Will Smith, A.J. Minter, Tyler Matzik, Colin McHugh, Tyler Thornburg. I think Darren O'Day gets on there. If Luke Jackson is healthy, he's on there. And then I think Dylan Lee possibly gets that last spot. But I'll stop there on the pitching side of thing. Alan, do you have it similar? Do you have it? Do you have anybody else possibly getting a chance on the pitching side?
I have it identical on the rotation. The difference I have is on, I've got Spencer Strider in there in the bullpen, at least to start. I don't know that he stays there past May 1st, but I think he's shown enough that he probably has earned a spot to start on opening day. As far as Jackson goes, if he doesn't make it opening day, if his injury lingers, if they decide to hold him back a little bit, then I think Dylan Lee may get his slot. Other than that, yes, I've got the same bullpen guys.
And we'll go ahead and throw in an unfortunate edit and update to that information. Luke Jackson has a tear in his ulnar collateral ligament. He almost certainly will be getting Tommy John surgery, but even if not, he'll probably have to start the season on the 60-day disabled list. So all that we said about if Luke Jackson is healthy, afraid he's not.
And Fred, you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I just there's a tweet just flipped up here from we talked about this. I'm on board with that. But Dave O'Brien just said that although he'd mentioned Strider as a sixth starter, along with Davidson today that Strider is statistically a stronger candidate for opening day than Mueller possibly. So they expect him to be in the bullpen. That sort of brings us to me being with Allen in this thing. I think that's probably where we end up. Strider is just so difficult for people to hit. As long as he throws strikes, he's difficult to hit, and he's got the swag. And I think I'm with Allen on this for the pitching.
Yeah, that's the one spot where I kind of pushed back on both of you, you know, in our pre-podcast. And I would not be upset if Spencer Strider makes this roster on opening day. Like Allen said, I think it would only be for the first month of the season. But I just think he has so much, you know, upside as a frontline starter. But he still has a lot of work to do. I'd like to see him continue to develop that in the minors and then come back up maybe mid-season as part of the rotation. Maybe he's ready at that point. It all depends on how they use him as well, right? I mean, starters are going to be limited early in the season. Maybe use him as kind of a piggyback starter, bring him in for 2-3-inning stints. Like I said, I would not hate the move because I love watching him pitch. Like Fred said, I mean, he is so exciting. I think especially early in the year, he could just be able to dominate with that fastball. I think he definitely has a chance. I mean, he's still there. I definitely think, you know, he could get a spot in the bullpen, not in the rotation for the Braves on the opening day roster. Moving over to the lineup side of things, have Travis d'Arnaud at catcher, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson, Austin Riley, Marcelo Ozuna, Adam Duvall, and Eddie Rosario as your starting fielders. I have Alex Dickerson as the DH right now. You could put him in the field and Ozuna in the DH, whichever way you want to do that. But I just think, you know, you're going to be facing mostly righty, so you're probably going to have his lefty bat in there. On the bench, Manny Pena, Orlando Arcia, Guillermo Heredia, and Phil Gosselin lining out the position players. Allen, you got any different there?
I think that was about what I had. Realistically, there's not a lot of wiggle room here because the Braves are pretty tight on the 40-man roster. Just about every outfielder that's on the 40, with the exception of Demerit and Waters, are going to make the team. Ronald will, you know, start the year on the IL probably. As far as the infielders go, Arcia is the only backup currently on the roster, so they're going to have to add Gosselin to a spot, but right now it looks like it's Gosselin's to lose, barring a trade that's unexpected, but, well, then again, it might be expected. Who knows? Catchers, yeah, it's d'Arnaud and Pena. So I think we're pretty much locked into what we expect on the position player side, yes.
Yeah, like you said, I don't know who else you put on this roster position player wise or who really is, you know, competing there with Brock Holt, you know, taking his release the other day. He's the only one that I thought maybe had a shot. So, Fred, I'll ask you this. Darren O'Day and Phil Gosselin, if they make the roster, they're going to have to find ways to make some room on the 40-man for them, which is full right now. Who do you think is at risk of being taken off the 40-man roster?
I think Demerit's at a risk for the roster because, frankly, Travis has been around for a long time. Braves had him. They traded him. The Tigers released him. They tried to make him an outfielder out of him. They moved him around. He never hit for them. They released him. We picked him back up. Since then, he's been on the 40-man roster for a while, but I think he's expendable because he's never hit the major league level. He looks like a 4A player, maybe not quite a 4A player. So I think Demerit's a guy. Then you come down to who is Sean Newcomb and why is he still on the roster? Sean Newcomb went out today and couldn't find home plate. All he had to do was throw strikes, and he couldn't do that. And I know it's spring training and but boy, throw strikes. It's spring training, throw strikes, let him hit the ball, get the ball over the plate, and he hadn't done that. Sean is so frustrating. He can be so, so good, and then he's so, so awful that you can't – every time he goes to the mound, I grab a bottle, and it's not Coke, okay? He scares me to death on the mound. He's as bad as Faulty was when Faulty would go to the mound, and now that's pretty bad. So I think he's there, and if a third one had to go, then – I'm afraid my buddy Tukey's probably next on the list after that, because I don't, you know, I love Tukey. I wish he'd get a chance somewhere, but, and I know they're going to try the dredging out. They're going to try to get him to start this year, but boy, if you got to have a third one, he's the third guy, I think. Unless they kick somebody off and do some fancy IL stuff. But for me, Travis DeMeritt and Sean and then Tukey.
Yeah, and I know we all talked about that on the pre-podcast, Alan. I mean, I think it's pretty much comes down to DeMeritt and Newcomb. That's who I would cut right now to make room on the roster. And like Brett said, you know what? I hate it for Newcomb, but I don't see a spot on the roster for him. And I tweeted this out on Thursday as well. Like, I would not be surprised if he just, you know, gets straight up DFA'd, you know, regardless. Possibly if they wanted to, they could try to keep him on the roster with the expanded rosters, you know, through April, but I don't see a need for him on this team. I think it's Newcomb and DeMeritt that get cut loose if 40-man roster spots are needed.
Yeah, even if you were carry Newcomb through April, he's out of options, so you couldn't even send him to the minors on May 2nd at that point. So, yeah, barring some, well, I mean, this is why I mentioned possibility of some sort of an oddball trade here and there, because I would bet that Alex Anthopoulos is shopping guys from the 40-man who are at risk right now. Mm-hmm. Just to see if there's a way to maybe turn some of these guys into an A-ball lottery ticket or something like that. Everybody needs pitching of some ilk, and if you can give away a couple of pitchers with that kind of a return, then it's still worth it. So that's why I think there might be some sort of movement in the next couple of days here, but it's not going to be for much return. It would be just simply to clear the roster spots.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's a possibility as well. I mean, Newcomb still has 3 years of control. You know, there's got to be some team out there that wants to take a shot on him and hope that he can figure it out. And for his sake, we've all kind of been saying for years, I think he needs that change of scenery, needs somebody that's going to give him that chance in the rotation. Yes. That he wants. And it's not going to happen in Atlanta. So for his sake, you know, I hope he's either traded or, you know, maybe he is DFA'd and another team picks him up and gives him that chance. I don't see him making sense on this Braves roster right now, but we'll see how that shakes out over the weekend and the coming days. Cause like I said, opening day next Thursday, April the 7th. So let's turn the page there and start looking towards the upcoming 2022 season, and doing so also with the offseason in mind. Alan, I think it was a great offseason for the Braves, but was there anything left undone? So two questions here. Give me your grade on this offseason for the Braves, and going into the season, what do you wish Alex could have also done, or what items do you think were left undone?
I am hard pressed not to give some sort of an A grade, because the Olson deal, the Jansen deal, and the McHugh deal, and even Kirby Yates, he's not going to be with us to start the season, but boy, about a all-star game pickup kind of a guy once he gets ready to pitch again. So golly, this bullpen is stout, and you can't complain about that whatsoever. The only complaint, the only reason it's not an A+, or I'm sort of teetering between an A and an A- here, is because of center field. I do dearly wish that we'd gotten somebody to address the need for a true center fielder, but other than that, it's hard to quibble about what's been going on there. So yeah, I'm very satisfied otherwise with everything that's been going on, and can't wait to see these guys on the field.
Yeah, Fred, same to you.
Yeah, these actually Alex did all this in such a short and compacted time that he said in an interview the other day he never wants to make that many deals that close together under that kind of pressure again, because everything had to work and it had to be done right away, and you couldn't go back and chew on it, which, you know, for guys like me, I overshop everything. So, you know, that's always a good thing. You buy, make the best deal possible. I just don't think there was anybody from center field that he liked well enough knowing that he had to sit on the players that were going to be traded, needed to buy, to get Olsen. He had to sit on them, so he couldn't go out and get a center fielder X or Y from a team who think he's going to be here for a while enough to spend the resources on that he would want to extend. So the season starts, he's going to be looking around, and, you know, he'll do what he does whenever the trade deadline hits, last between, I think, the 27th and the 1st of August, whenever the commissioner designates the day this year, because it's a floating deadline. But I think there's nothing he could have done that he didn't do or try to do. I agree with Alex, or with Alan, that he should have got a center fielder, but you can't buy what isn't out there, and there really wasn't one out there. There was not on the market really that we're going to come in at a price that we were going to pay and still have Olsen at first base to start the season. You can't argue with what he did with Jansen. You can't argue with any of the deals he made. He brought in Thornburg, who's looking like an absolute steal. Colin McHugh came here. Yes, that's a deal. You've still got Minter and Matzik and Smith, and he brings in Jansen. And it's just, the bullpen is just scares people to death. They know they've got to score early and get to the starters. So I think I'm not sure what else he could have done. I've got to give him an A, and maybe an A plus on this, because you can't answer a question that doesn't have an answer. I think he did everything that he could possibly have done. So, you know, maybe I give him an A plus and maybe I'll eat it later, but that's the way I feel right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you don't give him an A plus. I mean, this is an off season in which he said no to the face of your franchise and Freddie Freeman, and yet he came out smelling roses at the end of it, with Braves fans mostly cheering him for what he did. I mean, the fact that you can do that and still come out, you know, with your fan base loving you, that alone, I think, was an A-plus effort. But it's because of what he did to follow that up. You know, he traded for one of the best first basemen in the game. He locked him up for 8 years. He went out and got Eddie Rosario, Colin McHugh. And at that point, I was already giving him an A-plus offseason. And then it was the Kenley Jansen move that just put it even more over the top for me. That came out of nowhere, and you just threw $16 million at one of the best closers in the game. So, yeah, I don't know how you don't give him an A-plus offseason with everything involved there. However,
I guess I'm the Russian judge who's going to throw out.
Right. Yeah, you're the one that's always got to be difficult on him, just giving him an A, right? That sounds
okay,
terrible.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah. But again, like you both said, I mean, there's always more you could do. I wish you could have got a center fielder, even if it was Kevin Pillar. I mean, I think both of you are more so referring to, you know, an everyday center fielder, but I would have liked to see him bring in somebody like that on a minor league deal, like the Dodgers ended up getting Kevin Pillar on. You know, finding somebody like that, you know, that, I hate to say it, even bringing back Ender, you know, somebody that can come in late game as a defensive replacement, because the one thing that really does worry me about this team right now, especially till Acuna is back and up to speed, is this outfield defense could be a little rough. So I wish you could have done that, even just making a small move for center field. You know, I wish you could have made a move for another veteran starter, but, you know, these young guys, at least in spring training, are proving that, you know, they could hold it down for right now. And I think those veteran relievers, if you needed to trade for one of them during the season, wouldn't cost you much, and you could do that at that point if needed to. But all the young starters the Braves have and how they've been performing may have made that decision for him to just hold on with what he has for now. So, yeah, a great offseason for Alex Anthopoulos. Again, just with the way he navigated the Freddie Freeman situation alone, I thought was just amazing, and coming out, you know, maybe even in a better situation for the franchise going forward by trading for Matt Olsen and freeing up the money to make other moves for this season as well. All right, so what are the biggest storylines for the Braves going into 2022? Alan, what are you most excited to watch unfold throughout the 2022 season?
I just hope they all stay healthy, because right now I think this lineup, top to bottom, 1 through 9, has 25 home run plus potential, every single slot in it. You don't have anybody to pitch around. You don't have anywhere to go for an out. If you want to walk Olsen and maybe walk Riley, well, Ozuna's going to be right there. If you want to go down to the bottom of the order, then you've still got Dansby there. You've still got Darno. You've still got guys who can mash the ball even at the bottom of the lineup. So I think this team is certainly capable of about a 300 home run season. I do think Matt Olson is going to really go off on Truist Park. He hit 39 homers last year, more of those on the road than at home. But at, cavernous Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, you got, problems hitting home runs. That's not going to be the case at Truist Park. And if everybody can stay healthy, this team is going to put a lot of runs on the board.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch for sure. Like I said, just hope everybody can stay healthy. Because it'll be a really fun lineup to watch. Fred, what is one storyline this season for the Braves that you are most excited to see unfold?
Well, there's actually the one I want to see come true is I want Dansby to step up a year. I want him to have a walk year because that's where he's at right now. I still think I think we ought to extend him. I wrote that the other day and laid out exactly why. But I want Dansby to step forward. This is his time to step up and say, I'm the old man here, and let's go get these guys. I really want him to do that. I want the rest of them. I want Ozzie to stay, to be the 2019 Ozzie again. But the middle of the infield is where everything's going to happen. Those two guys, the heartbeat and the backbone, if you will, of the club. And then when Ronnie comes back, I want him to be Ronnie. I want him to be the guy that was scaring the league to death every time he walked to the plate like he was last year before the injury, like he was in 2019. But the middle infield of Albies and Swanson, those two guys are where the whole thing pivots around. The power on the corners is going to be there. Riley's going to hit 30. Olsen's going to hit 30. I expect Ozuna to come in 25 or so. Duvall's going to hit his. Rosario's going to hit a couple of dozen. We've got the pitching to do it, but it's all about cohesion and leadership and keeping the gang going in one direction. And for me this year, that's Dansby's job.
Yeah, you both kind of said something that made my mind go to Dansby. And I, just quickly jotting down a lineup here, went fully healthy, and I think you could bat Dansby anywhere 7 through 9. But I just thought about the possibility of him batting 9 and getting on base ahead of Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Rosario, yeah. Ozuna, Ozzie, what that could do for him in his season. I think that could be very big for him if you decide to put him in that 9 spot in the order. I think the lineup will get shuffled a lot, but I was just thinking about that possibility because I'm in that same boat, Fred. I think this is a big year for Dansby. I'm hoping for big things for him. I'm also kind of expecting big things for him in his walk year. But with this lineup that he has around him, I think you could put him in a situation where he could really succeed this season. So I wrote an article the other day, so I'll give a shameless plug on my 5 biggest storylines for the upcoming season. I'll give you my top 2 here. Number 2 was Ronald Acuna Jr. And, Fred touched on this. I just want to see him stay healthy, and I want to see if he is the guy, like Fred said, that we saw last year that I think would have easily won the NL MVP if he stayed healthy all year. How quickly does he get back to that level of play? How aggressive are the Braves with putting him out there? They talked about putting him at DH for a while and then letting him start in the field in May at some point. Does he get more days off here and there to begin the season? But more than anything, I just can't wait to watch him play. I mean, I think he's one of the best, if not the best players in all of baseball. He's certainly one of the most exciting. So that's certainly something that I can't wait to watch this year is every time Ronald Acuna Jr. takes the field, everybody should be glued in to that. And then my top storyline was, can the Atlanta Braves repeat? We started off the episode kind of talking about that, you know, Alan mentioning it hasn't been done in a long time, hasn't been done at all since the 2000s, early 2000s, when the Yankees won three in a row from 1998 to 2000. And then it hasn't been done in the National League since the Reds did it in the 70s. So, you know, the Braves have an opportunity to do something, hasn't been done in a long time, and they have the team to do it, as we've all kind of mentioned at some point in the episode. So that, I think, is the biggest storyline. It has to be. You're coming off a World Series championship. How do you follow that up? Do you come back out and give it another run at it, or do you flop? Do you fade? Do you have some fatigue? You know, what does that look like? It's so hard to win and to repeat in Major League Baseball. How do the Braves do that this season? How do they get it done? All right, let's move into some season predictions. And Alan, I'll go to you first. What are your predictions for the Braves this year? Give me maybe one player prediction and give me your win total for the Braves.
Let me start with the win total because I got to think about the player projection in a second. I do believe that the Braves are going to have some lumps taken in the NL East if everybody stays healthy in the NL East. Although even as I say that, there's this note that Jacob DeGrom's getting scratched for tomorrow as with a tight right shoulder. So who knows what's going to happen over there with the Mets. I think the Braves will still be a 92-93 win team. I think they finish first in the division. Second and third place will be a dogfight between the Phillies and the Mets. Miami a little distance behind, and then Washington in the basement because they just don't have anybody except Juan Soto, and everybody's going to walk him. He's probably going to get 200 walks this year. As far as a player prediction, I think Matt Olson's going to get 40 homers. I mentioned a minute ago that he's going to probably go off in Truist Park. I think he's going to have a lot of fun in some of these smaller National League parks anyhow. And Truist Park is considerably better venue for taking the ball out than Oakland Stadium. So I think his 39 total from last year will be eclipsed, and the Braves should be able to reap those benefits.
Yeah, I like that one. I mentioned that somewhere the other day where I'm talking baseball that I think Matt Olson gets over 40. So now I'm not so sure about that prediction now that Alan said
thanks.
It too. But, Fred, give me your one bold prediction, player prediction for the Braves and where you think they finish in the NL East and what their win total will be.
I think Ozzie hits 30 this year. I think we could have an infield, if you count the catcher, that hits 155 home runs without looking at Ozuna and Duvall and Rosario. That's a scary, scary bunch of people if Ozzie actually hits like he can. The two corners are going to give us 75, 80 of those, 85 maybe. Dansby's going to hit a couple dozen, maybe 20. And if Ozzie hits his 30, then all the catchers have got to do is supply us another 20 or so. We'll walk away with all kinds of things. The Braves are going to – I'm going to give them 93 wins. I think that 93 wins is really optimistic for a league where you have – the Mets who have stuffed in the pitching staff, even though I saw the DeGrom scratch. I don't know how Scherzer's going to hold up for him, honestly, because he's getting up in the ears. I said, as I'm twice his age, but never mind. I think that that's the 93 wins is realistic. And you know, I suspect the Mets and the Phillies, are going to be right in there at 90. And don't sleep on the Marlins. Look, that Marlins pitching staff is just plain nasty. If you look at those, they all throw 100. They've all got a heavy breaking ball. If they start scoring runs, they're going to be tough all year long. Nobody's going to go to Marlins Park and say, "Yeah, it's a walk in the park," because they're going to get stomped on when they do. The Marlins are going to be tough. If they're going to make it hard for everybody, we could have 4,500 in this division. And so it's going to be rough, but I think Oz is going to hit me 30, and I think the Braves are going to win 93 and go back to the postseason, which is another lottery. But if we get there, we got a chance.
Yeah. Look, I looked at the BCOTA projections the other day. They were the only – NL East is the only division where every team was projected to win 70 or more games. So it's going to be a difficult division. I still think the Braves will have to win more than 88 games like they did last year. I have them at 92 wins. And, again, I think that could be enough to win the division. I do think it comes down to them and the Mets. Look, I hate to admit it, but I love the moves the Mets made this past offseason, you know, just adding a ton of really solid players in that lineup with Marte and Marcana and Eduardo Escobar. I mean, that lineup is very deep combined with what they already had. Obviously, DeGrom and Scherzer. I mean, it's going to be very important that those two stay healthy. If just even one of them goes down, I feel like that rotation kind of falls apart a little bit. I know they got Chris Bassett as well, but I feel like a lot of their success, more so in the play, if they get to the postseason, will depend on those two being healthy and being, you know, the Cy Young type pitchers that they are. But I got the Braves winning the division, 92-94 wins. I got the Mets finishing second, but getting in the postseason. And then the Phillies and Marlins, I think they're going to battle it out for third. And again, I said this on a podcast I was on the other day. I think, unfortunately, I think one of them could end up being good enough to be a postseason team, but I'm afraid because of the division they play in, the division is just going to beat each other up so much that one of them might miss out on a wild card spot just because of the competition they have to play, which is why we have to go to balanced scheduling. But that is for another topic, another podcast. But I do think there'll be four very good teams in this division. Somebody has to lose, and I believe it will be the Nationals. But yeah, like Fred said, that Marlins team, I feel like they've been giving the Braves fits for years. Even when the Braves have beat them, I feel like they've had to scratch and claw for those wins. Like you said, now if they are able to get some runs, if their young, you know, hitters ever start producing, they're going to be a very scary team to watch. I think, like I said, I think you could have potentially three playoff teams come from this division. It just all depends on how badly they beat up on each other and can they take advantage when playing other divisions. But again, I think the Braves have the team on roster. They've done it 4 years in a row. So I think they get it done. As far as a bold prediction, I'm going to say Max Fried wins the Cy Young. And maybe that's not too bold because I think he certainly is a candidate, but I think he's going to have a mid two to low two ERA. If he makes 30, 32 starts, I think he could win the Cy Young. It may take a DeGrom getting injured and missing some starts, but, cause if DeGrom's healthy all year, I mean, I just don't see anybody taking that away from him. But I'm gonna go and say that Max Fried has his best season yet, that he wins the Cy Young, and then the Braves are gonna wish they had extended him or bought out, the rest of his ARB years. But, that'll be my bold prediction. Now overall predictions, Alan, what do you see division by division and who do you have in the World Series?
Let's go NL Central here, which is the worst division of the National League, pretty much, obviously. I don't see anybody really running away with it. I think it's going to come between Milwaukee and St. Louis and probably Milwaukee. I would like to see them not run away with that because I think a lot of the NL East is going to have to beat up on the Central to get some of their wins. So I think Milwaukee take over St. Louis. The Cubs may be probably third, and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh aren't going to win very many games, unfortunately. In the West, Dodgers will probably prevail. I can't see the Giants repeating what they did last year. 107 wins was just crazy out of that team. I still don't know how they did it, but they're going to fall back. The Padres and the Giants, and then Padres and Giants would probably fight it out for second place, some distance behind the Dodgers. Colorado fourth, Arizona well back in the basement. Coming out of the National League in terms of playoffs, I gotta say the Dodgers and Braves are probably going to meet in the NLCS yet again. Right now, I don't see the Dodgers being the invincible force that a lot of people seem to be putting on to them right now, because I'm concerned about their bullpen. I'm concerned about the health of their starting pitching. If and the Braves certainly know that they can beat those guys as well. But when I hear a depth of Blake Treinen and Daniel Hudson, and that's about it for their bullpen, then I'm real worried about how they're going to hold up. So I don't think the Dodgers pitching is going to be nearly as good as before, and that's why I think the Braves should prevail and knock those guys out and go back to the World Series.
Another quick update. Obviously, those comments were made before Craig Kimbrell became a Dodger. I still like the Braves over the Dodgers. It got closer, but we'll have to see how their bullpen actually performs in real life.
American League. Let me save the East for later, because that's going to be a dogfight. Going out West, I think Houston is looking pretty good again, not because they've gotten better, but because everybody else has sort of taken a step back except Seattle. I think it's Houston and Seattle 1-2 in some order. Probably the Mariners just slightly behind Houston. The Angels third. I'm sorry, Texas third because of the moves they made, except that they don't have any pitching really, but then neither does the Angels behind Ohtani. So Texas and the Angels third and fourth in some order, and Oakland well back, especially when they sell off the rest of their assets at the trade deadline. American League Central. The White Sox and the White Sox and the White Sox. Minnesota is probably a distant second, and Detroit could be a surprise third or second, depending on how their youngsters perform. Beyond that, Kansas City and then Cleveland. It's hard to handicap those guys, but they just don't have a lot of firepower overall. The American League East, everybody's a lot of people are calling that the best division in baseball. I think they're probably neck and neck with the NL East, but right now I think it's Toronto's to lose, Boston and New York some distance behind, along with the Tampa Bay Rays. I can't even I just throw a blanket over Tampa, Boston, and New York for second and third and fourth, but I think Toronto's going to walk away with it, especially since they're going to have a well, there's two factors for the Blue Jays. Number one, the fact that they are going to be in one place all year. They won't have three different stadiums. Second is that they may end up with a built-in advantage of not having opposing players be able to play if they're not vaccinated. Not enough people are talking about that problem right now, and I think that the Blue Jays are going to take that and probably parlay that into at least five extra wins if that continues. Baltimore, I'm so sorry about Baltimore. They won 52 games last year. That's probably about right for this year, maybe 60 if they're lucky. American League winners, I think I like the Blue Jays. So I'm looking at the Blue Jays and Braves in the World Series. Right now, on paper, I still like the Braves.
All right. So Alan's got them going back-to-back. Fred, what do you got?
Well, I've already said the Braves are going to win the East. Mets going to be right behind us in the 1-2 thing. The Central Division, boy, which one of the teams is going to run into the most injuries, the Cardinals or the Brewers? Right now, I like the Brewers manager a lot better than like any of the other managers in the Central, just because what he's done over the past few years. He's one of the finest managers in the game. So I'm going to give the Brewers the Central and probably the Cardinals behind him and everybody else going, hey, what are we playing here for? Out West, I wrote someplace else answering a question about what did Davey Roberts do wrong when he said he was going to win the World Series? And I said, well, a lot of the same things that Alan said. After you say Walker Buehler and Urias, what do you see besides a very old Clayton Kershaw, a guy named Andrew Haney, and some guy, I don't even remember his name right now. And so the starting depth is not there. They're going to have Trevor Bauer hanging over their heads all year long. He's going to come back at some point. The commissioner is going to make some kind of decision. It's not going to please Mr. Bauer. There's going to be a court fight. All that turmoil is going to spin around L.A. Roberts will do his best to keep it down. Freddie Freeman will be out there trying to hold them all together. It's a gang. This isn't about us. This is about him. And they'll do pretty well with that, but there's still going to be that hanging over the team. And if he comes back and the Dodgers do not release him, and we had this discussion offline the other day about whether they'll release him or not, I don't think they want him back in the system, no matter whether he's innocent or not guilty or they didn't have enough to charge him. Whatever the case is, I don't think they want him back. But if he comes back, they're going to have to use him at some point. I don't know what good he's going to be after sitting out a full season plus. So there's all sorts of questions. The bullpen is Trinan. You've left off Brewster Gratterall, who throws a gazillion miles an hour with a heavy slider.
True.
But can't stay healthy a lot, throwing that hard. I think the Dodgers will win it, but I don't think they're going to run away with it because I have a sneaking hunch the Padres are going to be tougher than everybody thinks they're going to be this year. And I agree. The Giants don't even know how they did it last year. They're just happy they did. Longoria's having surgery on a finger already because he tore a ligament in one of his fingers out. I think the Dodgers win it, but I don't think it's a cakewalk. And I think it's going to be rough out there in the playoffs. The playoffs are a lottery. I don't even watch basketball, and I know that we had a number 15 seed get through to the Final Four. If that can that can happen in any kind of playoff like this, but I think the Dodgers Braves playoff system is going to make it to the playoffs and get into the World Series from the National League. The Braves are going to get the World Series again from the National League. I like the Blue Jays an awful lot. I can never count the Rays out because nobody knows exactly what they're doing down there. I think mm-hmm. they've got like some
they're,
witch
they're
doctors.
Winning. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Besides winning, I just they're the only team for whom this works. And that's because they have these people. They use these people to exactly what they can do and never let them do any more, never ask them to do any more. And that's why when they leave and they have to do more, they don't pitch so well, play so well. But aside from, like Willie Adames and plays like that. But I think the Rays are so tough that you just can't write them off. But Toronto is so strong. They added Chapman. For Hernandez is an absolute beast. They've got Bo Bichette back. They've got Vladdy at first. They got a good, strong catching core. They've got pitching. I think Toronto wins the East, and I think I'm going to lean towards the Rays in second, just because I think it's bad luck not to pick them. I don't know. In the Central Division, I the White Sox are going to win that, I think, because everybody else is taking a hiatus. The Twins want to win, they think, but they're not sure. I think Kansas City is going to be better than most people think this year. I don't think they're good enough to win, but I think they're going to give the other two teams fits. The West is Houston and Seattle, and everybody else watches. Texas is going to score some runs, but they can't pitch. The Angels are going to score some runs, but they don't pitch much. So, again, it's not much of a question about which one of those guys is going to do it. I think it's going to be Houston and Seattle at the final bell. And I'm going to come back on the side of Justin Verlander and Houston, just because Justin Verlander and Houston. And I do think that the World Series is going to go through Toronto, and it's going to be Toronto and the Braves. Everybody on the West Coast is going to cry and scream and moan and ask for basketball season to start. But that's what I sort of see happening. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun because we haven't played Toronto for a long time in a World Series, and we need to get our own back on them. But I love that Toronto team nearly as much as Alan does, and I think that it's going to be a fun World Series for us to win with maybe Max Fried on the mound for the winning game again this year.
I like that. A lot of Blue Jays and Braves. Alan, was there something you wanted to add?
Yeah, there's an interesting little wild card thing I saw today on The Athletic, and it may be a factor in some of these cases, particularly when Petco Park in San Diego is one of the possible beneficiaries. Eno Saris of The Athletic was writing about the fact that every single ballpark this year is going to have a humidor. Last year was just selected parks, about 15 of them or so, or maybe a dozen, something like that. But now it's going to essentially balance the field in terms of the baseballs. That's a good thing. But it does mean that some ballparks with more humidity or maybe closer to sea level may find that their balls are flying a little further than usual. And the conclusion of this article suggested that, Petco Park might be the biggest beneficiary, suggesting a possible increase in homers of 13% even. Oracle Park, San Fran, 10%. Oakland Coliseum, nobody cares. Nobody's going to be hitting the ball there anyway. Progressive Field in Cleveland and Angels Stadium in Anaheim are the next two on the list. Truist Park should be about neutral, probably. But I think if that prediction comes to pass, then that may give San Diego a little more bolstering in the west of the National League. So take that for what it's worth, but that's a little news that I thought was worth bringing up, the fact that we're going to have humidors everywhere this year.
Humidors.
Not humidifiers. Sorry. Yeah. Humidors.
That is an interesting note. Maybe that might change my predictions here a little bit, and I'm going to have to change something because I've seen way too many people saying Blue Jays and Braves in the postseason that now I'm afraid it won't happen. But I hope it does, because that would be a ton of fun, like I said, if the Braves can get that revenge like Fred talked about. But I already said Braves in the East as well. I think the Brewers are clearly the team in the NL Central. Maybe the Cardinals give them a run there, but I think it's the Brewers division to lose out west because of what Alan just said. I'm going to say the Padres win the division. Why not? Let's be a little different there. It's probably the Dodgers, but I'm trying to will it into existence. So I'll go Padres just for the sake of being different. In the AL, I do think it's the Blue Jays. I love that team as well in the AL East. And then, like you said, the Rays will be second. They'll get into the postseason as they do, and then they'll probably lose in the first round like they always typically do as well. In the AL Central, yes, it's the White Sox. That's their division to lose, just like in the other Central division. I think that division is pretty much already wrapped up. But even more so, I think the White Sox have a pretty clear path to winning that division. In the AL West, I'm going to go with the Mariners. I think there's a change of the guard in the AL West, and I think it's going to be the Mariners division here for at least a couple of more years. Again, me just kind of hoping. I'm going to say that the Angels come in second and that they make a wild card spot, but again, that's just wishful thinking at this point. If I'm being honest, I like Jays and Braves as well in the World Series, but to be different, I'll say the White Sox and Padres. Let's go with that as my official prediction, because like I said, too many people have been saying the same thing, so that, you know, that's not going to happen. So I'll go White Sox and White Sox and Padres.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll take the White Sox because I live in Birmingham. The Barons are here. They're a double A affiliate for the White Sox, so I would definitely be okay with that. But should be a very fun season nonetheless. I cannot wait for it to get started. I got my ticket for opening day for the Braves somehow, paid a lot more than I really wanted to or am used to for opening day, but can't wait to be there with all of you watching the season get kicked off. Should be a lot of fun. So before we get out of here, as always, Fred, is there anything else that you want to mention?
I'm going to be in Arlington for the three games. Braves are going to play there at the end of next month, which tomorrow, the 28th, 29th, 30th of April. I'm going to go through all three games there, provided the wife gives me a hall pass. And I'm looking forward to that. And if you're going to be in Arlington, let me know, and we'll get together and you can buy me a beer.
Yeah, sounds good. Alan, anything else you wanted to mention before we get out?
I'm still now trying to figure out how many times I said humidifier instead of humidor.
But yeah. You're our editor, so you take care of that.
No,
you'll have to take your shoes off to count that high. I'm sorry.
Oh, thanks. Well, being in the vicinity of the affiliate of the Angels, the Rocket City Trash Band is here in the same AA Southern League. I have decided that that has no influence whatsoever on my picks. over the season. But no, I'm looking forward to this. This is good. Let's wrap spring training up. Let's get the roster fixed. Let's get the last minute trades and deals and roster spots and transactions done. Let's get to Atlanta and get some baseball going.
Yeah, absolutely. Cannot wait. Again, I can't wait to be there for opening day. Should be a fun season as the Braves try to repeat as World Series champions. And of course, we'll be here every week bringing you a podcast. We also have plenty of articles going up on tomahawktake.com if you want to go there and check out our work as well. But that will do it for this episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast, and we will talk to you next week.
This has been the 2022 season preview edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast, which is a production of tomahawktake.com and Fansided LLC, celebrating their 15th anniversary. It's a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of the participants, as Minute Media is still most likely unaware of anything we're doing. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin McLeod entitled Porch Swing Days, which was modified to fit in the available space. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other musical selections used come via rights already purchased by tomahawktake.com. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today, and may your autographed baseball stay in the humidor along with your favorite cigars. See you next week.